Welcome to Bridge Community Church. In this message delivered on November 17th, 2019, Pastor Todd continues his series, Your Story for God's Glory. In John chapter 9, we see how the gospel is spread through the practice of telling the story of God's work in our lives. Pastor Todd reminds us that the telling of our stories cannot be restrained within the walls of this building, but must be told out there where people need to hear it.
Your love is amazing. Your mercy is amazing. Your goodness to us. And we just stand in awe of you and in wonder. What is man that thou art mindful of him? That you would condescend to notice who we are and to pay attention to our lives, to know us intimately and love us just the same. God, we just can't get our mind around that. But the God of the universe loves me and knows every intimate detail of my life. And our heart overflows with thanksgiving. And we're overwhelmed by your love. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 2 days ago, there's a kind of a co-op farm. Maybe a half mile from our house in Wolcott. And a guy started it about 3 years ago. And we needed some potatoes and sweet potatoes. And we like to support the local stuff. And not only that, he's a wonderful man of God, a Christian. He has 5, 6 kids. And so I went to go see him to pick up some potatoes and sweet potatoes. So I drive in and I go on into his garage. And he comes out to see me. And I knew he'd been struggling physically with some stuff. So I said, how you doing? How are you doing physically? And he said, I'm doing much better. And I'm like, well, what happened? He said, well, you know, I had Lyme's disease. And the type of whatever the reason was, it wasn't going away. And I saw all the doctors I could, and nothing was working. And a friend of mine told me something that sounded hokey. He said, there's this new technology where they use electric magnets on your body. And somehow it really helps. And it sounded really weird, but he said it helped him. And I thought, well, I'll try anything at this point. So I went and tried it, and it worked. And he said, you know, on a scale of 0 being dead and 100 being like I'm feeling amazing, he said, I was feeling around to 20. He said, now I'm feeling around to 75, 80. I'm like, wow, thank the Lord. Isn't it amazing? The power of his friend's story. That made him think, even though this seems really hokey, bizarre, nuts, magnets to get rid of Lyme's disease. He thought, well, it worked for him. Why don't I try it? And now I've told you that story, and if you have Lyme's disease and it's not going away, maybe you'll want to try it too. Who knows? You know, there's something else really hokey, really kind of silly, foolish. And it's the power of the cross. Right? You say, no, that's not foolish. Well, the Bible says it is. The power of the cross is foolishness to them who don't believe. But us who do believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's not hokey to you and me, but it is hokey to those who haven't experienced it. And I just wonder if some of those people, all they need is to hear a story of how something silly, hokey, foolish, changed your life, changed your world. And if maybe that will make them give it a try, give it a shot. And they'll start believing and they'll realize that it's not foolishness, it is the power of God, radically changing their lives and transforming who they are. I think that's the power of your story. And that's why we want to talk about story. and how effective it is and how amazing it is and how powerful it is. And don't let anything stop you from telling your story. And so quick review, we talked a few weeks ago about the man who had, his name was Legion. He had a couple thousand demons inside of him, right? And he met Jesus, and Jesus cast out the demons. And give us that first, next slide, guys. And Jesus, he wanted to join Jesus and get on the boat with Jesus. Jesus said no, but he told him to do these five things. He said, go home, right? Yeah, Jamie, not now. Don't go home now, Jamie. Wait in about 45 minutes. All right, go home. To your own people, right? The people in your family, where you work, in your neighborhood. Go home to your people. Tell them. Remember, popular saying, you know, go everywhere, witness everywhere you go, and if necessary, use words. That's not in the Bible. You got to use your words, all right? Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. We just sang how amazing he is. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he had mercy on your life, right? And that's what Jesus sent him to do, and I believe that's what Jesus is sending us to do, to go home to our people, to tell them how amazing God is and how he had mercy on our life. Well, we're going to keep talking. You know, a lot of people, how do I tell a story and be really effective, have a large impact when I tell the story? And a lot of people wonder that. Well, Jesus was a master storyteller. In fact, there's a verse in the scripture that says he did not speak to the crowds of people other than in parables and stories. He told stories everywhere he went, and that's how he communicated. And he was phenomenal at it. Greatest storyteller probably that ever existed. He was a master storyteller. And it's important, well, you've probably had this happen, right? You meet somebody and he starts telling you a story. And he keeps telling you a story. And he keeps telling you a story. And he, that reminds me, and he goes on this rabbit trail. And then he keeps telling you that story. And then he and you're just lost. And you're like, how do I get out of this conversation? You ever have that? Some of you have had that. Yeah, the rest of you aren't raising your hand. You're probably that person. We get that, right? You do not want to be that person, right? You don't want to get somebody trapped in a story, and maybe you're thinking, how do I tell a story so that I have a major impact? It's powerful. How do I do it? Well, again, we just have to look at Jesus and how he told stories, because he was amazing at telling stories. And there's been a lot of science behind how to tell a great story. Peter Doctor is the one of the best storytellers alive today. He's the director of Pixar and an amazing storyteller. He said this. He said, when you tell a story, what you want to do when you tell your story is to express in your story the events and the circumstances and communicate how you felt. And what you want to do, he goes on, when you tell your story, is to make your audience feel that exact same way. Right? So he says, one of the greatest storytellers alive today, he's saying, you want to describe your emotions, your feelings. Well, the first thing I think we need to do when we tell a story is you have to identify what is the purpose of this story. Right? Again, we've all had stories, and you leave that story wondering, what was he trying to say? What was the point? Well, your story needs to have a point. Every story Jesus told had a point to it. He wasn't just telling stories to entertain people. There was a reason for his story. It had a purpose. So the first point is have a purpose. Now, we want to do this like a workshop today, okay? So just a moment. Take out your phone or get your little bulletin. It has a little spot to take notes. And ask God real quick, God, what is a story I can tell? What is a purpose? And of course, there's the epic story of your salvation, but there may be other stories. We all have thousands of stories. God has done so much in your life. He's worked powerfully in your life, and we have stories. There's these great stories that are universal to everybody. One is birth, the birth of a vision or of a dream, of an idea, the start of something, of your company, your business, of a relationship, your marriage, of your family, the birth of something. Growth is another universal theme. How did something grow? And what were the obstacles to that growth? And what caused you to stagnate and then get overcoming that? So growth. Triumph is another theme. We all have mountains that get in our way and these insurmountable obstacles. And how do we overcome those and triumph over an addiction or over a conflict? Conflict is another one. We all have conflicts, right? How we get through the conflict, and there could be relational conflict or conflict in just our professional career or with a boss, a neighbor, a child, but conflicts. And how we get overcoming those. Aspirations, we all have dreams, right? These are the universal themes. Pick one of those that kind of relates to you. Write it down. The purpose of the story is, boom. Every story should have a purpose. If you don't know your purpose of your story, you'll just wander around and around and around, and it won't have an impact. Look at this verse in the scriptures here in Luke chapter 19. Verse 11, it says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And he goes on to tell them some stories. See, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he says, so he told them a parable because there was a reason for it. And that's just one verse, tons of verses on this. Jesus always had a point to his parable, to his story. All right, you got that. Have a purpose. Second point is it should have structure. Should have structure, right? A beginning, a middle, and an end. Isn't that easy? Say that with me. Beginning, middle, end. One more time. Beginning, middle, end. Right. That's not hard. Don't dwell too long on any one of those, right? People don't need to hear all the ins and outs of your beginning. They want to hear a little bit, and you can, you know, I was at the hospital, and somebody was sharing their story to a group of people. And they're going on and on and on about how horrible they were, and they were giving all these details. It's like, I got it. I got it, you know? It's actually grossing me out. I mean, it's just like, I got it. We're good. We can move on now. What happened next? You know, it's okay to share a little bit, of course. You know, you want people to, but once they get it, just go on, because the point isn't where you were, but what God did, right? So your beginning, your middle, the end. I mentioned Pixar earlier. They have what they call a story spine. They call it a story spine. They start every one of their stories with a story spine. They don't leave it there, but they start it there. And then it goes from there. I put it up there. Let's look at that. Everyone, it's once upon a time there was a blank, every day blank, one day blank, because of that blank, until finally blank. All right, so let's just really fill in those blanks real quick. Once upon a time, there was a blind man. Every day, he went to the gate of the temple to beg. One day, Jesus walked by. Because of that, he was healed and he could see. Because of that, he told his story to his neighbors, his friends, his family, and the Pharisees, and was kicked out of the synagogue. Until finally, he met Jesus face to face and believed and worshiped him. Right? That is John chapter 9. All right? John chapter 9. I took the whole chapter and put it into a story spine for you, all right? That's one way to structure your story. But your story, you can use a story spine or just that simple, you know, beginning, middle, end. It doesn't really matter how you want to roll with it. But let your story go someplace, you know? Here's the thing about stories. Put a little thought into it. Put a little organization to it. And it will have a much greater impact You know, so you have your purpose. You know why you're telling your story. That's the big why. And now you've added a little bit of a structure to it. You can use the story spine or just that beginning, middle, end. And now there's a third point here, real quick. Hold on. Well, leave that. That's fine. Real quick. In your story, you can just use words or bullets. Don't have to write it all out. You know, if you ask God to give you a purpose, real quick, write down a little quick word outline of your story. You could say addiction, maybe homeless for some of you, or lost job, or miscarriage. That would be one for me, miscarriage. You know, just put down some words. Put down a feeling, devastation, hopeless, depressed, angry, hurt. Put down some words of emotions and put down what happened. What did God do? I met so-and-so. I met a pastor. I met my friend, or my friend talked to me about Jesus, whatever. And then now, see, real quick, do that. If some of you are doing it, I'm going to keep talking while you're doing that. Put skin on the bones, right? Put skin on the bones. This is what makes your story real. You have your skeleton, and now you want to flesh it out, right? Make it real. Make it alive. Make it something impactful. Let's go back to our story spine slide. Yeah, all right. Now let's put some skin on this bones, all right? Once upon a time, there was a man who was born blind. Here we go. He never saw a sunset. He never saw a bird or a butterfly. He never saw the intricacies and delicacies of a rose. He never saw a beautiful human being. Every day, he went to the temple to beg. He would put 2 coins into a metal cup and shake it and rattle it together to draw attention to himself. And people would pass by and they would hear and see, and most would think of themselves and think, what would they be like if they were born blind? And out of a heart of compassion and empathy, they would reach down and put something in. One day, Jesus came by. And the man heard in the tone of voice that same compassion that he expected when he would receive some gift. But this man named Jesus didn't give him anything. Instead, he heard him scraping some dirt off the ground. And then he heard him spit. And then he heard a little rubbing as he was mixing the dirt and the spit together. And then, to his shock, he felt the mud get placed on his eyes. And the shock turned to a little bit of disgust. And what would you do if somebody did that to you? Well, that's what Jesus told him to do. He said, go and wash it off in the pool of Siloam. Because of that, he walked to the pool of Siloam, washed it off. And for the first time in his entire life, he saw perfectly. He could see. Well, because of that, his neighbors and his friends were asking him about how this happened. And when they heard about it, his family wanted to know how it happened. And then the Pharisees and the religious leaders wanted to know why that happened. And he got to tell his story over and over and over that day. And the first time he told the story, he said, well, this man named Jesus. The second time he told his story, he said, well, he must be a prophet, somebody who speaks for God. The third time he told the story, he said, well, he must have been a specially sent out person from God. Each time he told the story, it got a little more accurate, a little more detailed into his story. The Pharisees, it was their job in their minds to protect the traditions and the status quo. And Jesus was upsetting their apple cart. And so they felt afraid that they were going to lose their status, their influence, their power. And out of self-protection, they kicked the man out of fellowship of their synagogue. And they said to him, we don't know who Jesus is, but we know you are a sinner and you were born in your sin, and that's why you were blind. They had an extreme prejudice against this man. And he was thrown out of the synagogue, out of fellowship. And this meant that his family couldn't talk to him, his friends couldn't talk to him, no one could talk to him. And he's just feeling that, and yet he could see. Until finally, he comes across Jesus, but he never saw Jesus, so he doesn't know it was. But this is the first time he sees Jesus face to face. And Jesus says, "I am the one." And he bows down and he worships him. And he says, "I believe." See how we added some skin to the bones? Right? We added emotion. We added feelings. We added something you could relate to. You know, when you're writing your story and you add skin, you could just say, "I lost my job," and that's the bones. And you could then talk about adding skin on how I remember driving home and thinking, what am I going to say to my wife? And I walked out of the door and my head's down, and I walk in and I give her, she knows something's wrong, and I feel embarrassed. And I feel almost afraid, like, how am I going to provide for my family? And I had to say, today I got fired. Today I got laid off. And we gathered the kids around. You see what I'm saying? You're adding some skin to it. You're making people identify with it. Or you know, this one happened to me, you know, dreams. My wife and I met at an orphanage. And we both loved kids. And I was the director, and she was the counselor, and we fell in love, obviously, and we got married, and it was kind of one of those instant love at first sight. And she's the only girl I've ever held her hand, hugged, or kissed, and I'm the only guy she's ever held my held a hand or hugged or kissed. I mean, we just loved each other, and we've right within the first few weeks, and. Well, we were working at an orphanage. We loved kids. We wanted a large family. And we had Savannah. And then we're expecting again. And after 13 weeks, it ended in a miscarriage. And that was just so devastating. We went to see the doctor, and he said, well, these things happen. And we didn't know at the time. It's about 30% of all pregnancies will end in a miscarriage. Just people are quiet about it. So, you know, okay. So we tried again. And was so excited. And she was expecting, and we were all anticipating it and really, really happy about it. And I remember on a Sunday morning waking up and or walking upstairs to our bedroom, and my wife had tears coming down her eyes, and I knew that it probably happened again, and she said it did. And it was a Sunday morning. And I thought I was fine. I thought I can handle this. I got dressed and I went to church and I stood up to do what I'm doing now and preach a sermon. And just suddenly in that moment, boom, this wave of pain and sorrow just flooded me. And I couldn't even keep going. And I apologized. I asked everyone to pray for me. And I just went back home. I couldn't even do my job that day. And it hurt so bad. And we saw a ton of doctors at that point because we knew it was something more than just normal or just something that happens. And the doctors didn't have a ton of answers. We went to a conference, and there was a speaker who prayed for us. And in that prayer, we felt God was healing us. We both really felt something powerful while we were being prayed for, like a miracle was happening. We wrote a letter to all of our healthcare providers, and we just felt this was what God was telling us to do. And it's certainly not for everybody, but we felt it was for us. To say we've prayed and we believe God has healed. And then all the letter was written and it said exactly what we wanted to say, and we really poured over it, making sure it was just right. And it came down to hitting the send button. And it was so hard to hit. It was hard to hit because all of our dreams, all of our expectations, all of the pain, all of it was just kind of wrapped up into that one motion that we're going to hit send, saying we're going to trust in God and we won't need your services any longer. And we prayed about it, and we finally hit the send. And shortly after, we were expecting again, and Sterling was born. And then Morgan was born, and then Adele was born, and then Gwinnett was born. And it was this innocent little hobby that just got out of hand. And God had healed us. God had healed us. And we praise him for that. And so you can just talk about a miscarriage, or you can give the skin on it. You get what I'm saying? So in your story, think about, how do you put skin on it? How do you express the emotions of what was going on so that it can have power, so people can relate to it? All right, let's do one more point. I've already kind of talked about this last point, so it'll be easy to go for. Let's go on here to the, yeah. Be the vulnerable underdog. Be the vulnerable underdog. I just was, wasn't I? I just kind of expressed that. When I share with you about my pain and my hurt, you're able to relate to it. And it does something to you to see what God does with that situation. You know, in your story, you want to be open and be vulnerable. I read this to you a couple weeks ago, and I'll just read it again to make sure I get it right. But this is the Apostle Paul speaking with his team, and he's writing a letter to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Paul was open. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm wonderful, I'm everything good. He said, no, I'm just like you. I was foolish. I had passions. I hated other people. And he goes on, but when Jesus transformed my life. But, you know, be the vulnerable underdog. Talk about your addiction if you've been addicted. How you lost your job. How you were just looking forward to getting pregnant and seeing the negative on the birth and how that devastated you. How whatever it is. How you and your spouse actually talked about getting a divorce because your relationship was so on the rocks. And just talk about whatever it is that is hard to talk about, because that's what people relate to, and it's powerful in it. And so be willing to do that. All right, you know, the end of the day is your story is for God's glory. Your story is for God's glory. That blind man in John chapter 9, it says, and he said, I believe, Lord. And he worshiped Jesus. At the end of the day, every point of every story is you're turning people's hearts and minds to the Lord, to Jesus Christ. And it's incredibly powerful. I want to remind you of the verse I started off with earlier before the worship. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him, Satan, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb. Now, the blood of the Lamb has been applied to every person, right? And he is, in 1 John chapter 2, it says, and he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So the blood of the Lamb is there and available to every human being. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word, the spoken word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even to the death. Your word has the power to overcome the forces of hell and Satan. And people who are caught up in the snares and the traps and the deceit of Satan, the word of your testimony can have power over that. In fact, there's another verse. It says that the testimonies of the Lord make wise the simple. People who are caught in the traps, the deceit, your word, your testimony, your story will make them wise. And they'll be coming out of that deceit. Their eyes are open, their ears are open, and they're able to see God for who he really is, and they believe in him. Because of the word of your story. Now, there's a whole culture. I mean, it's amazing. You look over the last 30, 40 years, there has been constant attacks to keep Christians from telling their story in our culture, in our community. This has been probably the single biggest victory point of the enemy in the church over the last 20, 30, 40 years, is to silence us from telling our story outside of the church, in our community, in where we work, where we go to school. Nothing can stop you except yourself. Nothing can stop you. You can go to a public school if you're a student and tell the story of Jesus. There's no rule against it. You can go to your workplace. You can go, you can tell your story. Your story is yours. You own it. And yet we've been convinced that somehow we shouldn't tell our story. And the church has lost power because we've been silent. And then what happens is we love to hang out in church telling our stories to people who already have the same story, which is great. It's a great place to start. It's a great place to start. But then we have to get outside of these walls, tell our story to people who need to hear the story, and see what God will do. And so your story is like the loaves and the fishes. It really is. But if you'll just give it to Jesus, he can take it and multiply it and feed thousands with your story. With your story. So what I want us to do, I ended really early, right? It's 11:34. And I ended early because I want us to get into groups of 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't know, whatever makes sense, get into groups. And what I want you to do is one of you in that group, just say, you know what, I'm going to start. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to practice. I'm going to tell my story. And I already had you write down your purpose or in your head and do a little, remember, don't go on and on and on and on. Have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the key is don't take too long on any one of those. All right? But tell your story. And it's okay if we all heard this. This is our first time. It's okay if you mess up. All right? That's why we're practicing. All right? We're going to practice in the church so that we can get good out of the church. All right? So I'm going to have a quick word of prayer. And then we're going to get together in groups of, again, whatever makes sense. 5, 6, 7, 10, I don't care. But one of you, be the champion. One person in the group needs to be the champion, says, I'll go first, and I'll tell a story. All right, dear Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lord, it's not our stories. It's his story. It's your story. You've done amazing things in our lives. And not just salvation, that's the most amazing, but beyond that, you've answered prayer. You've led us out of darkness into light, out of defeat and into victory. We have triumphed over all things. And in you, Lord Jesus, we aren't just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so there's a story of your goodness, your wisdom, your greatness, your power, your magnificence. And I pray, God, that you would just pour out your grace right now and give us courage right now to be able to tell the story and give you glory. Get up. I'm going to tell you about, I remember the first time I went skiing. I love to ski. Winter's coming, so if any of you love to ski, we can maybe go together, but I love to ski. First time I went with my dad and my brother, and I got on these skis, and they kind of force you into this position, and you know, one ski goes off one way, and the other way, and I fall, and I get cold, and I got a little snow rash, and I landed so many times on my backside, I don't even want to say. But I kept getting up and doing it again. And it wasn't really that long. It was really by the end of the first day that I was skiing like the blue square. And a few times after that, I was doing black diamonds. And a few times after that, I was doing moguls. And I was having the time of my life. And one of the joys of my life every year is to ski. And it was because I kept getting back up. And even though it hurt, and even though I was cold, and even though I fell down and embarrassed, I kept getting back up and I kept it with it until I got it. And I want you to stick with telling your story until you get it. You might embarrass yourself sometimes because it may come out wrong. Or you may tell the wrong story to the wrong person and you feel like you put your foot in your mouth. Or you may not feel like it really goes anywhere. But if you'll stick with it, one of the thrills of your life will be to see how God will use your story to inspire the lives of other people and help them grow. And that you partner with Jesus in the building of his kingdom by the simple act of you sharing your story will bring you so much joy that you'll never want to quit or stop if, in the initial stages, you stick with it until you get it. All right? So I want you to do that. I want you to do that. All right? Stick with it till you get it. Now, just when we dismiss, you'll have another opportunity. Before you leave church, tell your story to one person if you're willing.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bridge Community Church. At The Bridge, we believe that God's power is released in us through prayer and in community. We would love to help you build a bridge to Jesus. You can call us at 860-583-8352, visit us on the web at bridgetochrist.com, or worship with us at 43 School Street in Bristol, Connecticut. Our Sunday worship starts at 10:30 a.m. Join us as we help each other build our bridge to Christ.